minute. So Jalali will
It's
come.
a hundred to choose from.
Yes, the first one that comes to mind. Ar-Rahman. Al-Wadud. Al-Mutakabbir. Sattar. Al-Mutakabbir. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدي محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبعد فأسأل الله تبارك وتعالى أن يجعلنا وإياكم من المستمعين للقول والمتبعين أحسنه إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه ثم أما بعد we are still in our journey through the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's a very interesting journey because every time that you are into this journey, you get different emotions, different visions, a different understanding out of all these names. And we should know that when we get together, that the explanation of the name is very limited. Meaning of the name is very limited. Meaning every name can be explained in an hour, in a minute, in a year, or in a lifetime. What we try to do is just to give you a glimpse of the name, but it doesn't do justice to the name at all. The name Al-Mutakabbir Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Yani when we think about the name Al-Mutakabbir, of course we, usually how would people translate Al-Mutakabbir? How would we translate Al-Mutakabbir? If you hear this, how would you translate it? Thank you so much. Huh? What? The root letters. The proud one? Proud one. Allah. Al-Mutakabbir subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani the scholars, they spoke a lot about this name. But when we look at the morphology, then we will see that it is Al-Mutakabbir Al-Mutafa'il. Al-Mutafa'il. That means someone that does something. He is doing something. And or that what he is doing, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above everything. Yani he's above injustice. He's above lying. He is above, elevated above weakness. Elevated above, and so forth. You see what I mean? So this is what Al-Mutakabbir subhanahu wa ta'ala is. He is the one that is elevated above all bad and evil traits. He's nothing but beautiful. Like even when we look at him as the punisher, or when we look at him as the one that elevates, the one that destroys, it is still with beauty. Everything he does is beautiful. Because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ وَيُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ. Allah is beautiful and he loves beauty. So now to come back. We categorized the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our first class. And we said some of the names of Allah you are allowed to bring into practice by practicing the name, and others you are not allowed to practice, but you should have a reaction towards the name. You see this? Like when we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the merciful, I'm going to have mercy. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is generous, I'm going to be generous. Allah is a sabur, the patient one, I will be patient. But other names I'm not allowed to put into practice, because if I would put the name Al-Mutakabbir into practice in the other sense of the word, being proud, boasting, then that this is not allowed. So now, when we hear the name Al-Mutakabbir, then we are going to be humbled. Humbled. We are going to become humble. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made very clear that he would destroy everybody who is boasting and who has a form, an evil form of pride. What is it? What is pride in Islam? The negative form of pride. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Kibru, yani the kibr is what? He said, it is not accepting the truth and looking down upon people. Not accepting the truth and looking down, do we say down upon someone? And looking down upon people. Not accepting the truth, why would this be? For example, a father. A father does something and the son sees that it's haram. The father now, the son now comes and says, Dad, I would like to tell you that this is haram. The father will say, who are you to think? Where did you get the courage to tell me what I should or shouldn't do? True? So this is refuting the haqq. The child has the right to tell the father that something is wrong, but in a certain way. Because when we look that Zachariah, when he came into the worship place, the mihrab of Maryam, he found that she had food. Which kind of food? Food of the winter during the summer and food of the summer during the winter. You see this? So it wasn't around. And he didn't see somebody coming in and he didn't see somebody going out. He said, Ya Maryam, anna laki hada. Where did you get this from, Ya Maryam? She said, Qalat huwa min indillah. Like very easy going. Like, it's from Allah. SubhanAllah. Like she wasn't even astonished. They were so accustomed to Allah providing them through ways that don't go through asbab, means, but direct provision. So she said, oh, it's from Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُ مَن يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Isn't it you that taught me, Ya Zakariya, that Allah can provide us without any means, just like this. And when Zakariya heard this, he made dua. Because he wasn't able to get a child, and his wife was no longer fertile, you say it like that? Or she was barren? No, how do you say this? Barren, okay. She was barren, he was very old. So he didn't make dua. But when Maryam said that she had the food without it being provided by anybody but Allah, Allah says in the Quran, هُنَالِكَ دَعَى زَكَرِيَّ رَبَّهُ. It is here when he heard Maryam saying this and telling him that she received fruits directly from Allah, that he said, if Allah can give fruits, he knows this, but he was reminded. So هُنَالِكَ دَعَى زَكَرِيَّ رَبَّهُ. It is then that Zakariya made a dua. And he said, oh Allah, grant me from you, even though that my wife is barren and I'm very old, grant me coming from you a child. He was saying this in exactly the same place where Maryam got the fruits. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَنَادَتْهُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ يُصَلِّي فِي الْمِحْرَابِ. And the malaika, they called him. And they told him while he was praying in the mihrab. And where did he find Maryam with her fruits? كُلَّمَا دَخَلَ عَلَيْهَا زَكَرِيَّ الْمِحْرَابِ. The mihrab once again. So now you see that the prayer space and the prayer place is something very special. It was there that Zakariya was given the glad tiding of a child. And it was there that Maryam was what? Given her fruits. So now, when we look at the story of Maryam, we actually see how great Allah is, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why I want to go with you over the story of Maryam, in the light of this here. So we know at the very beginning, there was the wife of Imran. And she asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant her a boy. Muharrara. A boy that will be free of everything. Why? Because Allah is al-mutakabbir. Yani, He is the most great and He is the only one that has the right to be served. So even our children, when we educate them and form them, it is not to become obedient to us. It is because we want them to be obedient to Allah, and being good to us is being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's a very big difference. If a parent looks at this like that, then he will be more patient. The ego won't have a role in it. Who do you think you are? I'm your father. Like, don't be disobedient to Allah. Habibi, you will have mercy. But if you look at it as me, the father, or me, the mother, then it becomes very egoistic and it becomes like very egocentric. Like me, me, me. But if it's for Allah, you will have mercy. Is the difference clear? So al-mutakabbir is also the one for whom everything has to... Is there something? I'm also very hot, really, to be quite fair. I wanted almost to ask to open the door. If are you cold?
No.
A little bit, is that okay? Just. Oh, yes. I thought I was sick. Because I saw everybody like chilling. Okay. So now, when Al-Mutakabbir, so she said, وَإِذْ قَالَتْ إِمْرَأَةُ عِمْرَانَ رَبِّ إِنِّي نَظَرْتُ لَكَ مَا فِي بَطْنِي مُحَرَّرًا فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنِّي. Yani she said, I want to become pregnant and then I want to my boy to be muharrar. Muharrar comes from the word hur. Hur, yani to be free. Free from what? From everything apart from the mutakabbir. Because he's the only one that I really submit to. Even if my parents were to ask something which is haram, I'm not allowed to listen to them. I'm not allowed to obey. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا طَاعَةَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. There is no obedience to creation if it entails that it's a disobedience to the Creator. Then it's not allowed. So now, because Allah is al-mutakabbir. Is that clear? Because he's higher, elevated, more elevated. We're not talking about a physical elevation. Allah is above everything in rank, in status. So now we go further. So Maryam, the Imra'atu Imran said, I want a boy and I want him to be free. Free from everything. Just for you, Ya Allah. Because a boy could be, mentored by the rabbis, could be mentored by the people over there that were like very religious, and they would serve the people in the mosque. That would be the first thing. They would clean the mosque, give the people to drink, and they would be taught how to worship Allah and to become a wali of Allah Jalla wa Ala. But that was not for females. That was only for men. So now, when she was pregnant, she saw that it was a boy. That it was a girl. فَلَمَّا وَضَعَتْهَا قَالَتْ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَضَعْتُهَا أُنْثَى. And when she gave birth, she said, Ya Rabbi, I gave birth to a girl. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا وَضَعَتْ. And Allah knows what I have given birth to. But in another qira'ah, it says, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا وَضَعْتُ. And Allah knows what I have given birth to. And in the other one, that means that she's saying it herself. Anyway, so now it was Maryam. She called her Maryam. And Maryam means someone that is free from everything apart from the worship of Allah. That's the meaning of Maryam. Free from everything apart from servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, when she called her Maryam, she also said, وَإِنِّي أُعِيذُهَا بِكَ وَذُرِيَّتَهَا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. And I put her and her offspring under your protection. Who was her offspring? Isa. Finished. So now, what is very beautiful to see is that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when someone is born, he's being touched by shaitan from the very first moment that he's born. Like this. He pushes him. And this is what makes him cry. The baby cry. Of course, science shows us also why it's crying. It's to open the lungs, right? Because if a child were to breathe before leaving the womb, then it would suffocate. The lungs open when the child is delivered. So now, this is one thing. But we don't say that the two together can't be a reason. Do you understand what I mean? So now we say like, okay, the Prophet ﷺ said, every child is pushed by shaitan apart from Isa ibn Maryam. So not Isa. And this is what Allah says after that, the wife of Imran made this dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَتَقَبَّلَهَا رَبُّهَا. Her Lord accepted her dua. So Isa wasn't touched by shaitan. What do we understand here? That when the child is in the womb, even before it is in the womb, that you make a dua. That you say, if I want a child, I want it to serve Allah, because Allah is al-mutakabbir subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the one that is elevated above me in rank and status. When I have a child, it's not for myself. It's not for myself. When we have a child, we just look, oh, my little living doll. Oh, my little, puppet. The puppet will grow and the puppet will have a beard. Yeah. SubhanAllah. So now, when you look at this, you see that there's a reason why she wanted a child. There are many reasons why someone wants a child. Some want it just because it's nice to have one. Some because the partners love one another. Sometimes a woman wants to get pregnant to save her marriage. She says, if there is another child, he won't leave me. And then, yes, the husband is busy. And then, okay, I feel he wants to leave again. Second child, third. And at the end, there will come a time when you will not have children. And very often it's then when they leave. So having children to stay together is wrong. It is not a means, you know, like to save a marriage. It should be the result of a beautiful marriage. Okay, so now you see that she was already thinking like, okay, I want a child. And if I have a child, I want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then when she was pregnant, she said, Ya Rabbi, I give my child to you. Now, that was the second thing. When it was born, she said, oh, it's a girl. Nam inni wada'tuha untha wallahu a'lamu bima wada'at. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. And a boy verily is not like a girl. These kind of verses, when not put in the right context, they will be misused by Orientalists or weak-minded Muslims. Weak-minded, not weak-minded from a handicap point of view, but weak-minded from, yani they have a sickness in their heart. You will say, ah, look, men and women are not alike. Men and women are alike. But when men and women are different. Meaning, men and women have the same value, but they have different obligations and different rights because they are different. Okay? And together, they are the complete being. Now, together, they are in harmony. So now to come back. When we have a look at this, SubhanAllah, لَيْسَ ذَكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. In which context do we have to use this then? Yani, and the boy is not like a girl in serving the people of the Quds. She was sad. Not because she had a girl, but she said, like, what am I going to do now? I wanted a boy so that he could worship Allah in the Quds and be educated and formed by these great mentors. But now, this is not the case. Now, so now, when we have a look, we see that she was sad. Not because she had a girl, sad because the girl was not usually the one that would clean the mosque, serve the people. But now, all the people, they wanted to take the responsibility of Maryam. They all wanted to be responsible because she was from a good family. So they said, I want to take care of her. The other one said, no me. But Zakaria wanted it as well. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the way that they would do it. There was a river, there wasn't a river. Like a lake that would end up in a river. Okay, so a lake and it would go downwards. So, and this was very narrow. So they would all take a piece of wood, write their own name on it, like Zakaria and so forth, throw it into the water, and the last piece of wood to go through the narrow space in the river would be the one that would take care then of Maryam. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ إِذْ يُلْقُونَ أَقْلَامَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ يَكْفُلُ مَرْيَمْ وَمَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ إِذْ يَخْتَصِمُونَ. Yani, you were not there, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they threw their pens, but it was pieces of wood, to see who the one was that could take care of Maryam. And you were not there when they were in dispute. Meaning, why does Allah say you weren't there? How do you know Muhammad alayhi sallam? Because one, you didn't talk to the Jews yet. How do you know their stories? You can't read the Torah. You can't read the Injil. And there were no people telling you. So where did this come from? And this is وَمَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ. You were not there. So how did you know? And this was a sign for many Jews that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a prophet of God, because he came with details that only the rabbis knew and never passed on. So this was one of the proofs. So now, anyway, when Zakaria yani took responsibility over Maryam, then he allowed her to do what the men used to do. But she didn't worship Allah in the open space of the Quds, but she had her personal mihrab. And this is also what we say in the fiqh, that every woman should have her musalla at home, her personal prayer space. According to the madhab that she follows, she can then, during Ramadan, perform i'tikaf in her prayer space. But only if she had this prayer space in her house, not just anywhere. So she sits down with the niyyah of i'tikaf, and when she goes, yani she breaks her i'tikaf. Is that clear? So this is where she would pray and put her Quran and mushaf and prayer clothes and do dhikr and dua. And this is very often better to keep your concentration. Because if you pray everywhere in your house, you won't have the feeling that you're really in a sacred space. It's like quick, just in living room. Now it's while I'm doing, you know, the clothes of my child in the bedroom. But if you have this place, you have the feeling that you are going to something special. So having a musalla in your home is for a woman is a sunnah that the sahabiyat radiyallahu anhunna used to have. So do it. Okay, so we carry on. So now Maryam alayha salam, she was taking care of everybody. Then we come at the moment where we said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided her without she having to do anything. The problem is now, like, can these kind of things still happen? Can it still happen that, for example, all of a sudden I wake up and I find grapes in front of me and dates? And I ask my mother, I say, thank you, mama. She said, I didn't bring it. Thank you, daddy. He said, thank you for what? He said, I asked you to bring me dates, and now you think I'm going to bring you dates? So he says, where did it come from? He thinks it's a joke from his family. But in reality, nobody brought it. Is this still possible? Yes, it is. We have to believe this. But to whom does it happen? That's another question. So I know that some people said when they were imprisoned unjustly that they would have oranges. That was the only thing that they were given. And subhanAllah, the ruler was an unjust ruler and he imprisoned many people. So they would also eat the outside of the orange. How do we call that? The skin. We don't say the peel, no. The peel. So they would eat the peel or the skin of the orange. And they said, and one when they came out of prison, they told this to the people, said, you must be joking, it's like very bitter. And said, no, it's sweeter than sugar. They said, eat it. And he took it and he thought to have the same experience as in prison, put it into his mouth and it was bitter. He said, I can't eat this. Why, yani, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, then the rules, the laws of nature change. This is what we have to believe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed, created these laws. Like, to be quite frank, I won't be surprised if I now leave my phone that it falls down. Gravity, isn't it? So nobody's astonished. It's a law. But these laws can be overruled. They are subjected to Allah, and Allah is not subjected to these rules. The problem is because we are so into science, which is not wrong up to a certain degree, that we think that these rules are unbreakable. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us in the Quran that He breaks them whenever He wants. This is what we have to believe. And our belief that they are subjected is a part of our aqidah. Yes, it are facts, but Allah can overrule them. No? Like we see with Ibrahim alayhi salam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the people, you know, threw him into the fire, Allah said, Ya nar, kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. And he be gentle and kind to Ibrahim. So they say everything was burnt, but nothing from Ibrahim. He exposed everything. And when they asked Ibrahim, like some Mufassirin say, what were your best days in your life? He said, when I was in the fire. SubhanAllah. So this is just in a whale. Can you live in a whale? In the stomach of a whale. I mean, the acid and the degree of the acid that is, you know, in the stomach of a whale, you would come out at least. But there's a beautiful thing. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَأَنْبَتْنَا عَلَيْهِ شَجَرًا مِنْ يَقْطِينَ يعني we made grow over him A tree of yaqteen. I don't know how you say yaqteen in English.
Gourd.
Gourd. Okay. Now, gourd is yaqteen is used to heal wounds, burning wounds. Naam. And subhanAllah, when you are in the stomach of a whale, most probably the acid that comes on your skin and so forth, it might really destroy you. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He covered him under that kind of tree. So anyway, if we're going to say, like now if you would tell people, yeah, I believe in a prophet that lived inside of a whale, he would say, okay. And I believe in a prophet that was thrown into fire and he came out and was happy. Okay. And I believe in a prophet that walked over water. He will say, and I believe that you're in need of a psychiatrist. This is what he will say. Because that's the way that people look at the law of nature, like it's a thing. That, you know, that it's unbreakable, unchangeable, and it's almost like it is God himself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us not. But when does he show this to his creation? When they come to a point of submission of the mind. This is the last thing that we want to turn off. I don't mean that we shouldn't ponder, we shouldn't think, we shouldn't reflect, we shouldn't study. But there comes a point where you believe in your belief in Allah is stronger than your belief in gravity. That your belief in His overwhelming power is stronger than your belief in anything else. If I look in the Guinness Book of Records, I don't even know why they put it in the Guinness Book of Records. But anyway, a steward that was on a plane, the plane crashed from about nine kilometers, and he came out without a bruise. Just hey, and he just flew again next day. Said, you know, everything can happen, but this goes against everything we know. Why wasn't he hurt? Why? Yeah, it must have been, you know, this. They start making calculations and so forth. It was just Allah, but they don't want to recognize it. Why? Because there are these laws. Naam. So now, with mathematics, everything can be solved. So now to come back. Like when Zakaria came into her mihrab, he found fruits with her. He said, where did it come from? She said, from Allah. She said, from Allah. So okay, that's good. So now he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him a child while his wife was barren. And he was very old. Now, sometimes when people say something like this, we with our intellectual minds, when somebody would come to you and the doctor said, your wife is barren, yani your wife can't have any children anymore, she's 23. You start thinking about, subhanAllah, I wanted a child, maybe I have to divorce and this and that. Your parents come, they say, believe in Allah, He can do it if He wants. You say, Mama, the doctors. They say, no, but Allah can do it. Mom, please, we are in the time of science. True. Visually, it is impossible. Maybe 95% that it won't happen, but there are people whom it happened to. They are the exception on the rule, but they are there. Usually, it doesn't happen because there is this law. There is this law, the law of gravity, law of this, the law. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes shows you that He can do the unthinkable, that which we can't imagine. He can do this. And this is where the Muslim keeps on hoping when others give up. The word impossible doesn't exist in your dictionary. It's possible for Allah. And very often we despair because we look at Allah through our limitations. And through the expectations we have of ourselves, we look at our shortcomings, we look at, He won't help me, I'm a big sinner. He doesn't help you because you're a sinner. He helps you because He's generous. And His generosity is stronger than your sin. He doesn't help you because of you. If He would help us because of us, then He would have destroyed us already. So you see, very often we open a door of despair because we doubt ourselves. And this led to doubting Allah. We are reflecting. Or the way that we look at Allah is not more than a reflection of the way that we look at ourselves. And that's why we feel it is limited. Allah is not limited. So now, Zakaria, he asked for this child, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it immediately. So now we're with Maryam. Maryam was busy with her worship and so forth. And as was the case, like Ibn Kathir and others mention, in that time, when the menstruational period of a woman would be finished, she would go further away in the desert to wash herself, and then she would come back. So this is also what Maryam did. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَرْيَمَ إِذِ انْتَبَذَتْ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا مَكَانَ شَقِيًا. And think, remember Maryam when she went far away from her family. For this reason. But what happened now? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-mutakabbir, what I'm trying to say, is also the ones that can do things without the means that lead to these things. And very often, when you're going to look at your job, you're going to look at your wife, you're going to look at your husband, or at anything that was really important in your life, usually it was not what you were looking for, but it found you. SubhanAllah. It's not what you've been looking for, it found you. So I don't think you are married. Are you married? No. You are married?
No.
One day you want to get married? No. Yes or no?
Personal question.
Yes. Imagine if you want to get married, for example. Then you should know that there is another lady somewhere that wants to get married. She doesn't know you exist. She's saying yes. She's her female tajweed teacher is probably asking her, "Do you want to get married one day?" And she maybe just told her, "That's a personal question." Imagine if this is really true. And then, subhanAllah, these people meet and said, "You know, I had a sheikh and he said this." She said, "When was that same moment? Allahu Akbar." If that is true, then you're a wali. Okay. So now, to come back, you know, we might be looking there. Say, "Why? Where is it? Where is it? Where is it?" And when we give up, it's the moment we find it. Because we were, you know, we were relying too much on ourselves. "I want it, I will do it, I will arrange it, I will find her, I will find that job, I will find this." And we look and look, and it's like the more we trust ourselves, the more we become blind. Until the wall is right in front of our faces and we say, I want to go. SubhanAllah, like a robot, you know, that is out of batteries, he keeps on going. So now, you turn around, you say, "Okay, that's not it." And you find it without having to look for it. And then, SubhanAllah, what a coincidence. Ya salam, coincidence. This is what Allah does. Al-mutakabbir. Al-ladhi yatakabbaru anil asbab. The one that is above asbab. He shows you that he's not in need of your thinking to get you where you want. He will get you where you're not thinking of so that you know that you can't escape what he wants. And this is how we, go through life. This is where we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is when we go through the tests of life and we open our eyes that we see that we were blind, but that his names were always there. It is just for us to understand them, to see them in everything that is here, in everything. So now to come back. And al-mutakabbir is the one that is above asbab, so that he brings you to a point that you weren't even thinking of, which makes you bigger, which makes you happy. Wallahi, if we are honest, the most of the things we asked for ourselves made us unhappy. And the things that came on our road and made our lives, is that what made us happy, but we aren't thinking about it. SubhanAllah. And this is why we do al-istikhara. Say, "Ya Rabbi, I'm so fed up of my own thoughts. I want this, I want that. And every time that I want something, it goes against me." Ya Rabbi, istikhara, choose for me. But you're not even telling him what to choose from. This is the biggest thing. It's not like, "Ya Rabbi, this job or that job." Before you're looking for a job, you say, "Ya Rabbi, choose a job for me." How beautiful is it? You know, if you give this part of yourself to Allah Jalla wa Ala, al-mutakabbir, wallahi, he will take care of you. Do you really think if you say, "Ya Rabbi, from today onwards, I want to be under your protection, under your choice. Ya Rabbi, I submit to you, design my life in a way that it drags me closer to you, further from hell, to paradise, and design it." Subhanallah, not meaning that you're going to sit in your room waiting until something changes in your life, and that all of a sudden you're a grandfather, and that won't happen. But with every step you take, and with every move you make, with every blink of an eye, you will see something appearing in front of you that you say, this is it. And this is why they say, someone who submits him or herself to Allah, it's in dunya, he's like in paradise. What do I mean? In paradise, like we said not that long ago, we said in paradise there are no needs, no wants, right? In paradise, you walk, and you say like, oh, this is what I wanted. It's not first wanting and then receiving, because wanting is a need, and a need is a feeling of something which is missing. In paradise, the moment it comes, you said, this is what I would have asked if I could have asked. So everything up, this, okay. The people that submit themselves in this life with this and this to Allah, everything which comes on their path, they say, this is exactly what I needed. So it's like they're in paradise. Two minutes, inshallah. It's like they are in paradise while they are still here. Because this is what the hadith al-Qudsi, and after that I come to you, in Sahih Muslim, where the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the most beloved thing you can do to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing what He has made obligatory. And then he said, and the best thing you can do to come keep on coming closer to Him until He loves you is doing what? The sunnah. Yani sunnas. He said, until I become the eye through which He sees, the ear through which He hears, the hand with which He takes, and the foot with which He walks. Meaning that everything you have will guide you to Him. And that you will look through that which is good for you, and you will be blinded for that which is bad for you. Nothing that you hear, nothing that you see, nothing that you will experience will take you away from Him. That is the wali. Okay? That's the wali. Yes?
Just quickly, did you say that you can make istikhara for that submission? Is that what you should
do? No.
Is that what it was? Sorry.
No, that's not what it was. Okay. I said the istikhara can... the last thing I said, you can make a dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the choices in your life.
That's just a dua.
Yes, a general dua. Say, Ya Rabbi, يعني أفوض أمري إلى الله إن الله بصير بالعباد. I entrust myself and my case to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi, Allah won't leave you. Wallahi, look at a small girl walking with her father or mother through the market place, you know, over the street, cars and everything. It goes everywhere where daddy goes. Complete trust. Daddy, isn't this dangerous? No, darling. Okay, daddy. Daddy, can I eat this? If you're a bad dad, you can give everything you want. You say, no, this is bad for you. Okay, can I eat this? It's good for you. The child doesn't even think. What you say is good or that she can trust, she will trust it. What you say, no, don't do it, it will be afraid. So even, subhanAllah, they say that from the moment a woman takes her child in the arms, when the child is still very small, it forgets the world. The only thing it hears is the heartbeat of the mother. So now, when you as a... if your father tells you, come with me, but don't ask me any questions. Come with me in the car, I want to show you something, but don't ask me. Will you go with him, yes or no? I mean, if you have a normal dad. Not Breaking Bad dads. So, do you understand what I mean? You would just go. Your mother tells you, can you come please now? I want to take you somewhere. You say, where? She says, just follow me. You will do it. You won't even think it's something bad she's about to bring me to. Yeah. So why do we, with Allah, don't have the same trust? Like, Ya Rabbi, take me. Like, to there where you think is best for me. Okay? So anyway. So Maryam now, she was in the desert. And there was a man that came up to her in the form of a man. So now, Sharqiya, فَاتَّخَذَتْ مِن دُونِهِمْ حِجَابًا فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهَا رُوحَنَا فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا قَالَتْ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِالرَّحْمَنِ مِنْكَ إِن كُنْتَ تَقِيًّا. So now this man came to her, was a beautiful man, and she said, إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِالرَّحْمَنِ مِنْكَ إِن كُنْتَ تَقِيًّا. I want you to think with me now. She says, I seek refuge with Ar-Rahman against you. Why Ar-Rahman? Why? Yani, you would think because she fears him. Why doesn't she say Al-Jabbar, Al-Aziz, Al-Qahhar, the destroyer, the overwhelming, magnificent, I don't know. Why did she say the merciful? Isn't this what we are into? Like choosing the right dua for the right moment. Why in a case like this, Ar-Rahman, think with me.
Is it because that's how she perceived her Lord?
Without any doubt, she perceived it like that, but there's an extra reason.
Allah opens his heart.
Allahu Akbar. One. Because she wants to remind him that Allah is merciful. So even if you're about to do what you want to do and you don't do it, then Allah will forgive you. That's one. Two, because she asks mercy herself. Yani she asks for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect her. But now there's something more. Even if she would have been wronged, then she would still say it's Ar-Rahman. That it doesn't go away from the rahmah from Allah. Because the punishment in this life will be a greater rahmah in the hereafter. And we don't understand this now. But this is why the ulama say, when you see why Allah has deprived you from something, when you understand it, you see it, you will understand that He has been giving you all the time. Like, some people say, I want to marry this wife, or that man. I want this one. Dua, dua, dua. All of a sudden you hear the person is married. Why him? Why her? SubhanAllah. Why him? Why her? Well, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destined it. But anyway, so why? And then after 3 years, you see that same brother with eye bags. I have eye bags, but that's not because, you know, I don't sleep too much and I read a lot. So I have these eye bags. So anyway, so and after 3 years, you see this brother walking with his two children on the street, tired, and say, what's wrong, bro? You say, what's wrong, brother? And he said, nothing, you know, marriage is not easy. And you are married as well with somebody else, and you say, you have no eye bags. your children are happy playing, and his children are crying. You say, marriage is good. He said, no, marriage is evil. You say, marriage is from Jannah. I say, marriage goes to Nar. So you have these two opposites. And this might have been you if you would have been married to that woman. We don't know the result, and this can also be with men, of course. We don't know what the results of our choices are. Wallahi, I don't know the result of my choice of first giving salam to Umar and asking, how are you? Or saying, how are you? How is the family? Are you all right today? Two more sentences. I'm 10 seconds later in my car can eventually lead up to an accident. Sah? So I don't know. I don't know anything. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. So now, what I want to say is, so she said Ar-Rahman. So whatever happens in our life, we need to know it's always Rahmah. And this is the feeling we need to have. And that's a very difficult one. That whatever happens in life, Allah is always Rahman. SubhanAllah. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, some people will want on the Day of Judgment that Allah would have tested them more harshly. And this is when they see the reward of those who had been afflicted more than them. Yawm Qiyamah, when you come and you see the reward for your afflictions, you say, if only it was a bit harder. And this is why Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah, as I just said, like Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah mentioned in his seerah, he said that Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah said, I hope that Allah, you know, makes me struggle when I die. That I experience pain when I die. They say, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, yani life is difficult enough. Why? He said, this is my last opportunity to get rid of all my sins. That's the last, that's really the last thing. So everybody here will die one day. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Inna lil mawti la sakarat. Yani death comes with its pains. So remember what I'm saying now. It will be there one day. So remember when you're dying and you feel it. You feel your life leaving your body. Which is, you know how it hurts when you pull out a hair? Well, your soul is encrusted into your body more than your hair is encrusted in your skin. So you feel it, it's being peeled. But this is your last opportunity to get rid of your sins. So when this happens, think about this moment and you say, you take it with a smile. You say, Allah, alhamdulillah. It's, you know, maybe this is, everything goes. Everything you looked at, every heart you've broken, everything you said, everything you listened to, everything you thought, every expression of displeasure with Allah has done in your life, everything goes. But it's also the other way around. Like we said before, sometimes we worship Allah and we don't have this beautiful feeling. You know, we worship Him, we don't do anything wrong. We're not in a time of sinning. Just we don't feel it. Like that beautiful prayer that you feel that you're in Jannah and this and that. You don't feel it. You say, okay, Allah hasn't accepted my deeds. This is not true. Allah is a qabid. Qabid means He withholds something, but not forever. If He withholds something which is yours, He will give it back to you. So sometimes because we sin so much, He withholds this because we will need it when we die. So all the beautiful feelings for every sujood, for every ruku', for every dhikr, every sadaqah will be unleashed the moment you die. Boom, there you are. And this is when you die with a smile on your face. This is which will empower you to say, La ilaha illallah. So don't worry. You're worshipping Him. The absence of this feeling is not the proof that it has not been accepted. The proof that it's accepted is that He allows you to do it over and over and over again. If He doesn't want you in His paradise, you won't make sujood. You won't do dhikr. You don't do Qur'an. You will be now going out. You might be selling drugs or taking it, abusing it yourself. So the proof that He has accepted it is that you are allowed to continue. Like Ronaldo, for example, the moment he doesn't play very well anymore, they will kick him out, even if he was the best player ever, or Messi. So they will, sorry, you're not good of him. No, but I want to be on the field. I'm sorry, Ronaldo, now you're 60 years old, it's done. He says, yes, but I can with my stick. No, no stick, Ronaldo. Go back. So Ronaldo says, go back. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and reward us. Amen. So now, he won't be allowed. Why? Because he can't play anymore. And if Allah doesn't accept our worship, He doesn't allow us on His field. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ And the mosques are Allah's. Nobody will enter His house without His permission. Forget it. How many people pass by here and they say, a mosque, inshallah, one day. Why one day? Why didn't you say one day? Why is your one day now here? Divine invitation. Okay? So Al-Mutakabbir subhanahu wa ta'ala is even the one that is above your own will. How often did we want to do something evil, but then it was away. Allah took it away from us. Or we said, khalas, I'm not going to wake up for Fajr. And subhanAllah, all of a sudden this little voice says, you can't just sleep there. And you say, just let me sleep. It's like you're, you know, talking to yourself. And then you wake up. It's a feeling of guilt. Who placed this feeling of guilt in your heart and not the heart of other people that said, I'm going to sleep and I don't want to wake up for Fajr? Al-Mutakabbir. Because he's higher than your own will. He brings you there. SubhanAllah, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, some people will be dragged to paradise in chains. They will be dragged in chains. Like some people, they keep on running. Do you know like these American footballers, they have a training, and footballers as well. They put like a, how do you call that? A belt, an elastic belt like that. And they pull and they have to run forward. You know, but they can't really run forward because they pull back all the time. You know, and this is what we sometimes are doing. I want to go to the haram. How often does it go through our head? No, it doesn't work. Because He's pulling you back. So sometimes some people, they have the feeling during all their lives, I want to commit this sin, this sin, this sin. But they don't do it, but it's always in their mind. Allah drags them to paradise. He says, I'm sorry, I want you in paradise. But I want... Dragged. Some people will be dragged to paradise. Because Allah is merciful. And this is how we should look at it. You know, so our problem is we experience these things, but we disconnect them from Allah. We see them happening in our minds, in our hearts, in our intentions. Why do we disconnect it from Allah? When we connect it to Allah, all of a sudden, we are in the real world. The fake world is superficial. The real world is very deep. With a lot of, you know, unknown, you know, spaces and places and depths that are yet to be explored. And that is where we want to be. You know, under the surface, not above it. The ocean looks alike, but once you dive, you see an all different world. This is the dunya. This is your life with Allah. See everything very clear. So now, when we go further, Allah, so Maryam, she said, إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِالرَّحْمَانِ مِنْكَ إِن كُنْتَ تَقِيًّا. And then, yani, he says that he will, yani, he gives her the message that she will receive a son once again without a sabab. And when we look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a man not from a man and a woman. Created a woman from a man but not from a woman. Created a man from a woman but not from a man. And created men and women from men and women. The first one is Adam, no father, no mother. The second one is Adam. She comes out of a man, out of Adam, but not out of a mother. And then we have Isa, who comes out of a mother, but not out of a man. And then we have all the rest come out of men and women. Men and women. Why does Allah do this? Once again, to show you law of nature is nothing for me. I do it like this, like that, and like this. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Imran. إِنَّ مَثَلَ عِيسَى عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ آدَمْ. Isa is for Allah exactly like Adam, or even though they're different. One is from no mother, no father, and the other one is from a mother without a father. إِنَّ مَثَلَ عِيسَى عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ آدَمْ. The creation of Isa for Allah is exactly like creating Adam. خَلَقَهُ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ كُنْ. He created them from Turab, and then he said, become. فَيَكُونَ. And they became. That's it. كُنْ. Yani, Ahlul Tarbiyah, they say, أَمْرُهُ بَيْنَ الْكَافِ وَالنُّونَ. Yani, his command is between the kaf and the noon. Yani, meaning, he doesn't even have to say kun. It's so that we understand. The things exist with his will. Naam? He wills it. It's not like, first I will, then it happens. It's all because he, subhanAllah, anyway. Because I want now to move my phone, so now I move it. I first want it, then I do it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. And he's not subjected to time. So anyway, Allah. So now she said, Yani, how am I going to have a son? Yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mutakabbir. He's above all the asbab. And then, very beautiful. فَأَجَاءَهَا الْمَخَاضُ إِلَى جِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ. Naam? So now, yani, she went far away. And in the surah, you see all the fa. You see fa. فَأَجَاءَهَا الْمَخَاضُ. فَنَادَاهَا مِنْ تَحْتِهَا. And in the other qira'ah, مَنْ تَحْتَهَا. So all the fa's, in the Arabic language, when fa follows its, yani, up, then it means it's immediately. فَأَجَاءَهَا الْمَخَاضُ إِلَى جِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ قَالَتْ يَا لَيْتَنِي مِتُّ قَبْلَ هَذَا وَكُنْتُ نَسْيَا مَنْسِيَّا فَنَادَاهَا. This is why Abdullah ibn Abbas said, Maryam became pregnant of Isa in a moment. We will say an hour. She carried him for an hour and she delivered him for an hour. And that was it. 3 hours. Why? Because Isa was not created from that which we are created of. He was immediately in the shape of the baby that was going to be born. Because he was not created out of a man. So he didn't go through all this process. So people say, how did she stay away 9 months? She didn't stay away 9 months. She went and she came back. And now, didn't they see it? Well, the clothes were very white. And as a young lady that was pregnant, it was very easy to hide it. So now, she carried him, received him, carried him, and gave birth in 3 hours. Fa, fa, fa. No? So why? Because he was not created out of that which we are created from. And this is the opinion of Abdullah ibn Abbas. So now, when she was there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something very beautiful. Look, again, asbab. Subhanallah. فأجاءها المخاض إلى جذع النخلة. نخلة. يعني the pain of labor took يعني led her to a palm tree, a date tree. Allah سبحانه وتعالى said, هزي إليك بجذع النخلة. يعني shake the palm tree, the date tree. تساقط عليك رطبا جنيا. يعني and dates will be poured down upon you. I will explain what it really means in Arabic. But you should know that you can't shake a date tree. The dates are very high. If it would have been possible, why do they climb in a date tree? Just for fun. You can't shake it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show her that He can give it through something which doesn't exist. Shake it. She didn't shake it, but it fell down. To show once again, law of nature is nothing for him. Is this clear? Like it doesn't move, but yet it falls down. To see that the asbab for him are but asbab. And this inspires us with hope and trust and a vision. It allows us to continue and to say, no, it's possible. People say, khalas. You know, all the doors are closed. Allah is al-Fattah. He has invisible doors. Al-Fattah, yani, how do you know? So now, said, هُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِذْءِ النَّخْلَةِ تُسَاقِطْ عَلَيْكِ رُطَبًا جَنِيًّا. Now the word عَلَيْكِ is used. عَلَيْكِ. It's not said حَوْلَكِ, around you. عَلَيْكِ means right on you, next to you. So that she, with her labor pain, didn't have to go fetch the dates. We're right near to her. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again showing her, you are not alone. Even if your husband, yani if a husband would be there, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they say, is closer, figuratively speaking, to a woman delivering a child than anybody, than the doctor who is accepting the child. Yani is how do you say this? Not accepting? Receiving? Not receiving. He does receive. Huh? Delivering? Isn't she delivering the child?
She's birthing.
Okay. Yeah. Good. So this happens when you have a sheikh from Belgium or an imam from Belgium or a brother from Belgium. Okay, so now, to show like even if she was alone in the desert, she was being taken care of. You know, sometimes we say, I want to be alone with Allah, I want to be alone with Allah, I just want some time with Allah, I don't find time with Allah. Then, you know, when you drive your car and all of a sudden you're out of gas, and you're out of gas, and you have to park your car, and then you take your phone, your battery is dead. You say, oh no, what? Well, you want to be alone with Allah. There you are. You know, you are saying this, but you disconnected from Allah. No gas, battery dead. This is what you wanted. There you are. So now, she was there alone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He was taking care of her. She shake the tree. They say the reason why she had to shake the tree is one, like we said, law of nature. Secondly, because she was then focused on something else. And now, ajib, in hospitals now, they give laughing gas. Do you know that? It's a mask. It's gas and it makes you a bit drunk. Or stoned, or whatever that you want to. And then women start to, not everybody, but a lot of them start to laugh and giggle, and everything is cool, and subhanAllah, very flower power like. So they try to put her mind onto something else, to divert it. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was doing. So He was diverting her attention so that she wouldn't be focused on her pain. You see this? So now this is not the only thing. Why dates? You should know that there is a lot of blood loss when a woman gives birth. Dates, they help to reduce the blood loss during the pregnancy. There's a lot of iron in it as well. Also the sugar level. Dates immediately goes to the blood and brings it up. Same for the child. So, and also for the womb to, I don't know how you call it again. Huh? Yeah, to contract, yes, to come up, because you can also have problems with it, everything. So also to produce the milk, and so many different things are all in the date. So yani he guided her to dates, not to bananas or whatever, dates. So now, alhamdulillah, when this happened, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he showed us like how a woman that delivers a child or gives birth to a child should be taken care of. One, let her concentrate on something else. What do husbands do when it's about time? Is it already there? Is it happening? Subhanallah, the woman is stressing. She's in pain. How many minutes do you think? Do we have to go now? Stressing. Talk about something else. Let her show how and when. But so much concentrated on birth that they forget to take her mind away. And this is not the sunnah. So instead of asking all the time, some men get angry. Yes, they get angry. They say, it has been 4 hours that you're saying it's about to come. Yes. And then they pretend that the husband pretends that his wife is like faking the pain. Don't exaggerate, it's 4 hours now. SubhanAllah, people recognize it, you know? So, and this is what is really happening. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, help her to focus on something else. Give her some dates, give her something, read a story, whatever, do something. So now, okay, so now, when she gave birth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَنَادَاهَا مِن تَحْتِهَا, and in another qira'ah, فَنَادَاهَا مَن تَحْتَهَا, yani, from beneath her, it was said, and some said that this was Isa alayhi salam. Isa, who spoke from the very moment she gave birth to him. أَلَّا تَحْزَنِي, do not be sad. قَدْ جَعَلَ رَبُّكِ تَحْتَكِ سَرِيًّا. So anyway, the audience thought, so there was a river that was flowing so that she was able to drink and wash herself. So this was provided for as well. But why لَا تَحْزَنِي, why don't be saddened? When she was shaking the tree, she said, يَا لَيْتَنِي مِتُّ قَبْلَ هَذَا وَكُنْتُ نَسِيًا مَنْسِيًا. Oh, if I only had died before this. And if I would only be someone who was forgotten. We spoke about this, remember? Why did she ask for death? When we read it, we read it once again with our weak faith. We say she wanted to die because people would accuse her. You know, which they did. Because she wasn't married. Yet she gave birth to a child. So that she wanted to die. She said, what is happening here? I'm Subhanallah, this doesn't fit a wali. Say, what's happening? I want to die. SubhanAllah. Yani, wali is not like that. And this is why Fakhreddin al-Razi said she wanted to die because she was afraid that this miracle would lead people to gossip, which would be bad for them. You see the difference? She was afraid for her people, not for herself. How can this be? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the mother of Isa alayhi salam wa ummuhu siddiqa. His mother is a Siddiqa. Siddiqa is right under the prophets. You know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about these gradations, He said, أُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ, they are those who have been blessed by Allah, so forth. يعني, مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. So the Siddiq is above the martyr. So how do you think that we are looking at her story I'm talking for myself. So at her story with our weakness, oh yeah, I would like to die as well. Yeah, it's too much. That was not the reason. She said, if only I would have been forgotten, they wouldn't gossip. They wouldn't do haram, masakeen, poor people. Isn't this the prophetic behavior? This is the prophetic behavior. It is rahmah for people. Because haram leads to hell. So she said, يَا لَيْتَنِي مِتُّ قَبْلَ هَذَا وَكُنْتُ نَسْيًا مَنْسِيًا. So anyway, then at the end, yani she the dates fell. She took off the dates, her child spoke, and then there was water for her to wash herself in, to drink some water, and then she was not allowed to speak. And if you see someone, a human today, then say, إِنِّي نَظَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ صَوْمًا. Today I have promised Ar-Rahman to fast. وَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيًا. And I will not talk to a human being today. Why? Sometimes your innocence is so difficult to prove that it's better for you to remain silent and let Allah talk for you. This is sometimes, you know, like this man SubhanAllah, true story, like Al-Abbas Al-Aqad wrote this in his book. He was one of the generals in Iraq in the 1920s. And he wrote a book. He became a khatib at the end. And he said a man came back, it was a butcher, and had knives with him, you know, walking through the forest home, and he heard a lady screaming. So he went, and when he came, he saw that she was stabbed, and they went away, and there was no knife. But the moment that he bended to look at her, his own knife fell into her body, like it went into her body. And at that particular moment, the people arrived. And it was clear that it was his knife, and this lady died. So he was sentenced with what? Capital punishment.
Yeah.
So now, but he was innocent for this killing, wasn't he? How are you going to prove this? Sometimes you need then a miracle. But the story goes on. Should I tell the story? I won't. It will take about 15 minutes. So maybe another day, another lecture. Stories. So now, anyway, to cut a story short, he went to court. And he said, look, I didn't kill this lady. But do you remember 30 years ago when somebody killed someone in the forest? It's a very long story, yeah? He says, that was me. But I got away with it. And today, Allah's justice came down. He said, by Allah, I do swear, I didn't kill this lady. I did kill the other one. So please go and get that murderer, because he's running around somewhere. And then they knew. So then he received anyway the capital punishment for the first killing, but not for the second. And they found the murderer. You see? So sometimes you can't talk. It's too big. And this is the very test. When everybody thinks you are wrong, or you wronged someone, you oppressed someone, and you know it is not true. When you're a true believer, then you do like Ibn Ata'ilah said, Rahimallah Azza wa Jal. He said, when people accuse you falsely, and that you can't find peace of mind knowing that Allah knows it isn't true, then the punishment of you not knowing it, that Allah is sufficient, is bigger than the punishment of them accusing you. That's bigger. Because you're accusing Allah of not being sufficient for you. You see this? But is this easy? It also sounds very beautiful. Oh, mashallah. Yeah, that's nice. Yeah. But the moment it happens, look at Aisha radiallahu anha when she was falsely accused. She didn't speak. She said, look, this is what we have to do. She said, if I were to tell you that I had done it, you would believe me, and Allah would know it isn't true. And if I would have told you that I didn't do it, you wouldn't believe me, and Allah would have known that it's true. She says, so I'm going to say what the Abdul Salih said, yani the Prophet, yani fasabrun jamil, yani the father of Yusuf alayhi salam, I will be patient in the most beautiful way. That's the meaning of sabrun jamil. Wallahu musta'anu ala ma tasifun. And I ask Allah's help against what you are falsely saying and claiming. So now, she remained silent. She didn't talk. She didn't defend herself anymore. She left it to Allah. What was the result? Not just a verse that came down from the sky. She lost weight. She became pale. She was crying day and night. The Prophet ﷺ coming in, she said, I had to look at his mouth to see if he was mumbling the salam or not. He didn't look at me like he used to look. This was the Prophet. And this was her beloved husband. But she didn't talk. She didn't stand up. She said, nobody will believe me. And then when they came, they said, yeah, Aisha. The parents of Aisha came. Yani Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and his wife said, go to the messenger and thank him. She said, why? Said, because you have been, yani your innocence has been declared. And then she said, did it come from the Prophet or did it come from Allah? And it was her husband. They said it's a verse, ayah tutla, a verse that is recited until the day of judgment. And then she said, and thanks is only to Allah. And the story was finished. You never see Aisha after that complaining. Do you find the stories where she said, and everybody was talking about me, and everybody was saying, this is us. We think that we're mu'mineen, we're strong in our tests, but when the test is gone, we complain. And this happened and that happened and I didn't expect this and nobody was next to me and I was all alone and I was calling. SubhanAllah. This is wrong. So we understand this from sorry. Why? Because Allah is al-mutakabbir, meaning that He doesn't want you to hold on to others. And if you don't understand this, He will make you understand this by turning those who you love most against you. This is the danger. If you don't come to a point where you say, Allah is sufficient for me, then Allah will take away those from your life that you are attached to, that you, the shoulder you need to cry on. Because Allah says, do you keep on crying on the shoulders of people? While I am sufficient, I take it away. Now you feel alone. And the moment that you feel that Allah is enough for you, He will give everything back. Because now the danger of you being distracted from Allah through them is gone. So you need to go through you need to be thrown into the pits and the wells of despair. That you try to get out, you can't. And all of a sudden you see there is a door, and there you get out. Through a way that you didn't expect. So when you love and you attach too much to things, that they actually cause you indirectly to do with them what you should do with Allah, very often it's taken away in front of your eyes. It's a dangerous thing. No. So now this is what she said. إِنِّي نَظَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ صَمَا فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيَّ. So in very brief, what we have seen here is that Allah is al-mutakabbir. He is above the law of nature. He is above means. He is above people. He is above everything you need. And if you give partially the things to creation, what you should only give to Allah, He might test you by taking them away from you. So, do you want to keep them? Then do go directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. No. Are there any questions?
I have one question.
Yes.
Do you know how you said she was shaking the tree, right? How did she know to shake the tree?
This is ilham. Because there was also an angel that came to her. Right? That was Jibreel alayhi salam. He spoke to her. Inham is a divine inspiration. Divine inspiration, which is not the same as divine revelation. Divine inspiration can be through a dream, for example. Or that you are given an insight. All of a sudden, a deep understanding of something. Or, for example, you're driving. Say, subhanAllah, I'm not going to the left. I don't know why. Usually I take this road. Let me go this way today. And later on you hear that something terrible happened there. What was this? This is what we call ilham. It's a divine inspiration, which is not the same as a divine revelation. Now,
what kind of exercise can we give to our kids to help them attain that true belief of, for example, that Allah is above the laws of nature, etc., especially being in a very sort of science-dominated society and telling them things where they've been told, for example, something like energy can't be destroyed, whatever it is, How do we help? What sort of exercises can we do with them at home? And, you know, rather than just saying, this is what it is and this is it. You know, they need some sort of experience.
No, I would actually show them how powerful Allah is by having created these laws. And to tell them that these laws are Allah's. But as He is the king of these laws, He can break the rules. Instead of saying this is not Allah's. No, it is Allah's will that they exist. Imagine if there was no for you there was gravity, for me there wasn't. And for you there was and for you there wasn't. I mean, if I were talking to you, I should always take you back. Say, how would we pray together? First row. Just to say, if there wouldn't be any laws, there would be chaos. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them, and they exist. We do not deny their existence. But the problems of Muslim is that they say, okay, that's science, but where is religion? Well, our religion shows us that these rules that science didn't make, this is another thing. Science didn't make these rules. They unveiled it. They described it. It's a descriptive knowledge. It's just describing what is there. And sometimes it can be wrong because we don't see all the aspects of what we describe. So sometimes we have a conclusion, but that conclusion within 10 years is different. like the speed of light, for example, like and so forth, which we see, which has evolved and it has changed and so forth. So now if you're going to see, we are going to say, look, science helps us to unveil, to describe what Allah does. And then all of a sudden, science is not an enemy. But science is then strengthening me. Like he's al-Qawi, he's al-Hakim. Al-Hakim is the one that does everything perfectly and with wisdom and with right proportions. Science shows me this. And this is our biggest problem, that we see science as something separate and religion as something separate. What we want to do now is teach them science and teach them that it's from Allah. Khalas. You understand what I mean? And then we say, and in unusual cases, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do this. And then you give some examples. I think that's the best way. Make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, Omar. You want to say something?
No.
Ah, no, because you would like, okay. History? Yes. In English, I don't know. I don't know the books in English. But Nihaya of Ibn Athir is a very good one as well. But there are very good books. I think they have been translated also by Dr. That they have been translated into English. And they're history books of Dr. Salabi. Dr. Salabi. And he has written about all the different Muslim empires and history and so forth. And for me, this would be my favorite collection.
Is that prophet stories as well?
Not only prophet stories, also others. So like all the Abbasiyin, the Umayyin, the Fatimiyin, the Zinkiyin, yani all everything, the Andalusiyin and so forth. So he has it's very good. You should, if it's in English, Dr. Salabi, and I think it is in English, then please read that. I'm going to have a look right now if it exists. MashaAllah. Allah Ya Kareem.
What's his first name?
Give me 1 second, please, Habibi. Sorry. Okay. My apologies. Dr. Salabi. Doctor. Okay, it's Ali al-Salabi. But I'm looking here. Yes, there are some books of him in English, yes. Umar ibn Khattab, Uthman ibn Affan, Ali ibn Abi Talib. Yes. Ali, just Ali, and then Salabi with an S-A-L-L-A-B-I. And they might also write it with double E at the end, because it's Salabi, S-A-L-L-A-B-I or A-B-E-E. Dr. Ali Salabi. Yes.
Last session you mentioned people going through
3 gates. Ah, yes, the scholars. Yes, they go through 3 gates. The gate of panic, of pride, then the gate of humility, and then the gate of panic. But I can't explain them now because that will take about 15 minutes. So that are the 3. Ask me next time at the beginning of the class, and then we can just start with it. Another question? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just before
that, is it Futuhat? Futuhat. It's like the same. Futuhat and Ilham. Is it like the same?
Yes. It's like Allah saying it.
Exactly, yes. No. Someone else? Or is this all? Khalas? Okay. Jazakumullah khairan. Inshallah, stay tuned because there are 2 other classes. One is after Fajr. Which is a prophetic soul on Sunday. I know that's a bit early. And there's another one on Friday, the second, the third, and the fifth Friday of the month. And that's in prayer management. So it's about importance of prayer and so forth. Jazakallah khairan wa barakallahu fikum wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammad. Thank you once again, Umar, for everything. Yes.